Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Amen. We have a privilege this morning and pleasure of having Derek Kassebaum. Derek, where are you? Could you come on up? I began talking to Derek about just this message kind of at the end of last year. And just listening to his heart, what Holy Spirit's been saying to him, I'm excited. And I just believe there's going to be a deposit from the Word of God into our hearts this morning. So, Father, we thank you for Derek and Laura. I thank you for your hand, your favorable right hand that rests upon this family and upon this man. Lord, that Holy Spirit, you would enable him to deliver with all clarity everything that you placed in his heart for us this morning. Lord, that we would mix your word with faith, that it would produce a bumper crop, a harvest, with fruit and fruit that remains. Thank you for your blessing upon him. Father, we just pray right now. I pray blessing on our ears and our heart. We would have soft soil this morning to hear your word and mix it with faith, that it would have its way. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen
and amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Mark, Ryan, and John. All in Deuteronomy is written about the Lord does the battle, and we go in to possess the land. Yes. It's already done. What you prayed for is already done. He goes before us, and he prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. He's already gone there. He's already there. As Dana said, he's there. It's the already, not yet. It's
yes.
coming. So
Amen.
Be encouraged with that. And the word that I have today is just crazy, amazing, awesome, because it's already been given three times.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So that's why I know that God's already doing this. We're here on earth to take ground. That is our purpose. If you've ever wanted to know what your purpose here on earth is, it's to take ground.
Yes.
See, we're going to see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. And if you're alive in Christ, you are the land of the living. And everywhere you go, everywhere you put your foot, we see the glory of the Lord.
That's good.
And we look at him face to face, as was brought today. I'm going to get to that later about CC's. We'll hold on that one. But if you want to look back at a day in history, mark today as a day in history. Mark today as a day in history. When you look back 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 30 years from now, or if God allows you 50 years from now, Amen. Today will mark a day in history because this is the word of God.
Amen.
You know, Tom started with Psalm 34 today, bringing Psalm 34. Does anybody know on August 20th what I preached? Can you remember the title?
Jesus,
yeah. God, Holy Spirit, we're not in Bible school anymore, Tom. Sorry. Fear not. And I preached it from Psalm 34. And then Tom read Psalm 34. And God delivers us from all of our fears.
Yes.
And you know what I've struggled with for the last 6 months? More than anything, a deep fear, anxiety. The second week in September, my wife can attest to this, I slept 1 hour a night. We moved into a new home, and I went to the faucet one day, and I couldn't turn it off. And I said, Laura, how do I do this? And she goes, you just grab it and turn it down. I go, why can't I do this? She goes, because you're not sleeping at night. I had such anxiety and fear. And you know, when you preach a word, what's going to hit you?
Yes.
Satan's not stupid. He's just not smart. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in him. Okay? And this word that I'm bringing today, it is by the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, it is exciting. It is awesome. Don't fall asleep. My dad one time, just a side note, I wasn't going to say this. My dad one time when I was preaching in Guatemala, I saw him sitting in the back of the church. And, you know, I was just like, man, my dad's got his eyes closed. If my dad's got his eyes closed and he's praying for me, I know I'm going to do good. And at the end, I asked him, how did I do? And he goes, I don't know. I slept through the whole thing. So please don't sleep. Please be prayed. He worked so hard that week. He deserved that time to sleep. Can you put up 1 Corinthians 2:4? In the New Living Translation, it says this, "And my message and my preaching were very plain." Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And he says, "My message and my preaching was very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, I'm not going to persuade you. I'm not going to use clever Bible verses. I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit to speak through me. So that when you hear it and when you understand, you'll know it's the Holy Spirit, not some man up here trying to persuade you that what I say is right." Let me just pray real quick. I know Tom prayed. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you that you live in us, that you're with us. You're not at some far off galaxy that we got to pray to you far off. You're not even near beside us. You're in us. Holy Spirit, we say thank you. We thank you that as you speak, you bring life. We thank you that you give us words to speak. I pray over my emotions today that you speak through me clearly. I pray that the soil that is out there today is good soil. That the seed that is planted today is good seed. Father, we pray for watering in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, when I started this anxiety thing that I started going through, I really dug in deep and hard over the last 6 months. I mean, I get up early. I get up about 5 o'clock and I go down and I pray. And I can't get 1 hour. I got to get two. I want to work out and I can't work out. So many times Holy Spirit begins speaking to me and I cannot go to my workout. I love working. I love my time 5 to 6 with God and 6 to 7 with the gym. And I can't ever get to gym because it drives me and I want to go that second hour with God. And during that time, I also read 2 books. If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, I'm going to suggest 2 books today. These are mine. You can't have mine. The first is one by John Eldridge, Resilient. I went through a Bible study starting in September with a group, about 35 guys. We're part of a group called FATSE. It's Fly Fishermen at the Crossing. And it's a book, Resilient, How to Be Resilient in Times of Trouble. The other one is this. Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. Brilliant book by Lou Giglio. And you know what it's on? Psalm 23. It's on Psalm 23. That God prepares a banquet in the presence of our enemies. Yes. That we get to see him face to face across from us. That the enemy is Scott. They have to sit right there. And they have to see us face to face. See, he had the opportunity one time in heaven, and he lost it. But we get this relationship now. If you're dealing with fear, brilliant book. I will buy one for you if you can't afford it. As I was praying and fasting, and this is the crazy cool part of, I'm going to give you my title, Open Doors, okay? I just gave you my title. I gave you what God's going to speak about today. On November 1st, I'm sitting in my chair in my living room, worried about the fear of finance, worried about the fear of what's coming next, and I just quieted my mind. I said, God, give me a word for this new season. Give me a word for this new year. And immediately, Open Doors hit my mind. And I'm like, God, what does that mean? And he said, I'm going to bring to you new doors that weren't there before that are open to you. I'm going to open new old doors that were once closed. He said that these doors are going to be doors of abundance. They're not just doors. They're doors of abundance. And I thought about this for a while, and I kept it as a personal word. I thought, well, this is a word for me personally because of the things that I was walking through. Then crazy things started happening. It's amazing. That was on November 1st. If you look at it, November 1st is a Wednesday. On Saturday, I went to a men's meeting that Brent puts on. If you don't go to the men's meeting that Brent puts on Saturday mornings, you're missing it. Get out of bed at 6 o'clock and get there at 6:30. I'm just telling you, plug for you, Brent. I got there, and they talk about the highs and lows of life, okay? And it went around to a guy named Larry Dureps. And Larry was talking about the low of life and the high of life. And then he said, do you know we're coming up on 2024, and 4 in Hebrew means door. Now, God just told me 3 days before about door. So I'm thinking, man, this is amazing. 24, door, Hebrew, this is awesome. Later that month, I took 10 pastors fly fishing in Montauk, you know, for a little pastor's retreat. Met a guy named John Kramer. John Kramer is the pastor of Gateway 61. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man. Never been to his church. So I decided to go to his church on December 3rd, I believe it was, which is a Sunday, I believe it is. And when I went there, you know, they had their singing, worship, they had their announcements. And between announcements and the time he gave the message, he took 2 minutes and he goes, I got a word for people here today that are specifically here today. And the word is this. He goes, that new doors are opening. He said, we have been carrying keys that are to be used in this new season. Keys that we've had but have not been using to this point. There is a past that has been with us. There is a past that's been with us, but this is a new season. I was quickly typing all this out on my phone with my thumbs. And I was just like, this is crazy, okay? So I go to Brent's meeting the next week, and Larry's speaking again. And I said, Larry, what is that thing you talked about, 24 being doors? And he goes, oh, we're living in the year 5784. That's the Hebrew year, and what it means, it's the year of open doors. I'm like, no way. Went home, literally, I think I was, forgive me, I'm driving and probably doing this. I was so excited. I'm looking up Hebrews 5784, and the Jewish voice came up, which I've never looked at before. And it says that the Hebrew year goes from September 15th to October 2nd. I'm like, no way. It started September 15th, 2023. Okay? God gave me that word sitting in my chair on November 1st, 2023. I'm like, okay, this is too crazy. So I go and I read the Jewish voice, and they're praying for the Jews right now to be, there'd be an open door to hear the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. Oh, that's good. And if you think that's cool enough, then I told some friends that we have that are missionaries in South Africa, they were going into Senegal. I called them around, I think it was January 1st, January 2nd, and I said, hey, I just want to pray over you guys. We talked to them, and I said, just so you know, God gave me a word for open doors, and I believe there's going to be open doors for you guys for this year. We're in this year. It's open doors. The next day, they sent me something. And you know what they sent me? That there's a man in South Africa. He's planted over 10,000 churches. And guess what he preached that Sunday? Open doors. This is the year of open doors. I don't know if you got the message yet. This is the year of open doors. In Revelation 3:7-8 says this. John is writing. Don't get hung up on Revelation. Just don't use that word. Just don't get hung up on the word. John is writing what God has told him to write. There are direct words from Jesus. I know that because they're read in the Bible. And Jesus is speaking to seven churches. And it says this. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write this. These are the words of him who is holy and true, meaning these are Christ's words himself, who holds the keys of David. What that means is he holds the royalty of David. And what he opens, what Jesus opens, no one can shut. But what he shuts, no one can open. God gave a word today, okay? Sin is done with once and for all. The lie that you've been listening to, that you can't get past this, it's shut right now, okay? God is shutting those doors right now. I'm just telling you, the doors are shutting right now on that. And he's opening up new doors. And it says this. I lost my revelation. There it is. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door. Crazy. That no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. I know you have little strength. I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. He's writing, I know you're barely hanging on. I know you've been praying for this open door for a long time. I know you've been asking for a way out. And I know you got little strength to hold on. But I bless you today with this open door that no one can shut. And that's what the Word of God says. So I started looking at this, and I just started saying, God, what are you doing? How are you opening doors? I believe we're moving into a new season. I believe that the church is transforming into something that God has unique and different for us. And that there's an abundance coming upon the church. In other words, things that you've been lacking, you will not be lacking anymore. So what doors are opening? Doors of finance. Okay? Doors of finance. You've been asking God, I need a financial breakthrough. You're going to see a blessing in a crazy, mighty way starting this year. And this is a season. It does not end on October 2nd. So if for some reason you go, oh, it's October 3rd and that door didn't open to me, hold on to it. This is the word that's marked today for you. It's doors of healed relationships. I believe there's people here that have broken relationships. I'm telling you, right now, here and now, it's being healed. A door is open to you. A door is going to be open in such a mighty way that you're going to be like, this is crazy. I was not expecting this. Doors of healing. There's people here who have sickness and disease that you've carried for a long time. I've carried a ringing in my head for a long time. I know there's a door of healing open to me. Amen. That this healing, this ringing will be gone. Like, it's really intense now, okay? There's doors of ministry. You've been saying, God, where do I go? How do I get there? Doors of ministry are going to be opening to you. Doors of right thought processes. Some of us have had wrong thought processes. Now, there's a door to a right thought process, a way we need to think properly about ourselves, about our future, about our family.
Yes.
There's doors of opportunity open. There's doors of peace. Second Peter 1:2 says this. When I saw the door of peace, and then I read this verse one day, blew my mind. It says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. You get peace in abundance.
Yes.
An amazing abundance of peace. Who here needs peace in their life right now? Okay. Who here is probably going to need peace in their life right now? Okay, we all are. You're going to get it in abundance. It's going to surpass your understanding, the Bible says. It says that you get this peace. It makes no sense that you have it. There's no reason that you should have this peace. You're dealing with issues in your life, in your company, in situations. Lord, why do I have such this peace about this? Because he gives it to you. He's opened a door of abundance to you. Recently, I've started been seeing some of these breakthroughs. So this is the first part of my message, okay? I'm going to be going to a second part here in just a second. But I've been seeing spiritual breakthroughs that doors have been opening. I write them down. I write down every time I see doors opening. I've been praying. This is just me personally. It's not in my notes, but I'll tell it. I prayed. I go, God, I want to see checks coming in the mail.
Yes.
I got 3 checks this last month. One from the IRS that I asked for forgiveness because they said I made a late payment, and I didn't. And they gave me my money back because I had to make the payment. And they said, yeah, we're going to give you forgiveness. We won't do this again, but we'll do it this time. I'm like, I'll take it once. I'll make sure it's always early. They gave me a check. Another one, I was trying to get something fixed in my home, and the current builder said, well, could we split the cost? I said, yeah. They sent me a check. Another one, I forget where that one came from. I got another check. I am praying for more checks to come in the mail. Why? Because that's the way our God works. Why? Because I give him the glory. Why? Because he is so good to me. I don't have anything else to rely on. I don't know what the world relies on. If you don't have Christ in your life today, I want to tell you, you need him in your life. Because I do not know what else you can rely on.
Amen. Amen, Derek. Thank you, Jesus.
Sorry, I just looked at my wife. She knows what I've been going through.
Yes.
I know what I went through last night. I know what I went through this morning. The stuff I dealt with in my head this morning. And God has given me peace right now.
Yes.
I thank him for that. You know, I went to another men's Bible study. Sorry, Brent. On a Saturday morning. About 3 or 4 weeks ago. And as I walked in, a man, Dan, invited me. I'd never been there before. Went down to his basement. Sat at a table, and they did the dirty dog. They said, oh, Derek, you're new. Why don't you take 5 or 10 minutes and talk about yourself? I go, no, you don't do that to the new guy. So I did. And I started to talk about myself and like married, two kids, have a company, this is what I do. And I just felt Holy Spirit say, tell them the truth. And I took 3 to 5 minutes and I told them the truth about my story and my history of my life and how God showed me the difference between salvation and lordship. And about 10 minutes later, Dan, who was leading the group, says to another guy, we're going to call him Floyd, I'm going to protect him, said, Floyd, what do you think? And he goes, I've been trying to figure out for the last 10 to 15 minutes how to get out of here ever since you started speaking. He goes, I'm so unnerved and so bothered right now. And we spent the next hour just loving on this guy and just helping him through it. I went there 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks later, which was about a week and a half ago, went to the same thing. Floyd walks in, sits next to me. And we'd start talking about what's supposed to be on our epitaph or what do we want the world to say about us when we die? What are they going to say at our funeral? And so everybody's saying their thing. And he goes, Dan again, Floyd, what do you think? And he goes, this has been the worst 2 to 3 weeks of my life. He goes, I'm struggling here. It's hard here, stuff like that. And Dan says, Floyd, have you ever asked Christ to come into your life? Have you ever just really said, I need you to be my Lord and Savior? And he goes, with all my heart I have. And he looks at me and he goes, and it's all your fault. And these guys did what they thought best, helping this guy through. And I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to Floyd? And Holy Spirit just gave me words that just flowed, that he is exactly where he's supposed to be. See, if you give your life to Christ, it's going to be hard. Because you got an enemy. You're in battle. Before that, you weren't in battle. He didn't care about you. There was a God that loved you that was trying to come and save you, but you weren't in battle, but now you're in battle. So if you're going through an issue in your life, it's okay. It's expected to be.
Yes,
I don't think Tucker's here today. Tucker, are you here? Nope. Tucker got saved in this church within the last few months. Tucker got baptized. Tucker's life is totally being transformed. Yes. That's an open door towards Tucker. Crazy story of what's going on in his life. Brent is walking back and forth across the back here. He'll tell you, God is doing radical things in his life. He gave him an IRS check he wasn't expecting. I hope that's okay to say aloud. But yeah, first time. Crazy. These are doors that are being opened. I'm telling you, it's happening left and right. Here's the problem.
Dirk, he gave me two. He sent another one a week later.
Just to be sure. Here's the thing. Tom just came up here and talked about this wall that you're pushing back. There's a problem. There's a problem. The church is advancing in such a way around the world that that wall will not be enough. We're going to outgrow this building faster than that wall is going to be moved. I am telling you, it's the truth. I'm telling you. Because you know why I know that? Because on November 1st, I was asking God, what's this new word? And he said, open doors. On December 2nd, I'm sitting there right before I go to John Kramer's church. I'm sitting at my kitchen table. I'm reading. And God spoke something else to me. And this one I really held to myself for a long time. That there's a generational shift that is happening in the world today. That there's a generational shift. Now, if you are here, and if you are 50, I am a little over 50. If you're 50, 60, 70, 80, do not worry about what I'm going to say, but grab onto it. There's a man that grabbed onto it. His name's Caleb. He went to the Hebron Valley when they conquered the land.
Yes.
And he said, give me the giants.
Yes.
And he's 85 years old, and he beat them with his cane till they're all dead. If you are here, 50, 60, 70, what I'm talking about here, do not think, oh, we missed it, or we were in that generation. No, you are in this generation that is going to take land and going to transform this world, okay? So I'm sitting at the table, and God gives me this thing of a generational shift. And I said, what does that mean? And I took that in personally, but then God started talking to me about what it meant in the church, the big C, not the little life church, because we play our little part in our area, the big C. And the big C is this, that we're moving from congregational to individual.
Yeah.
That we're going to be moving from a congregational, trying to get them in the congregation, to individual. How do I know this is true? Because I sit with men all week long, and they are begging for relationship.
Yes.
They are begging for one-on-one. Yes. Over and over, they tell me, this is my church. This is one-on-one with me. This is... I go to church and that's great for the 2 hours, but when I meet one-on-one, it's life transforming. It's discipleship. It's what Mark is just going crazy throughout St. Louis and around the world with. That there's a relational building that's one-on-one. That there's a shift in the way that the church is to be done. That it's not been done the wrong way. It's just, okay, we used to do cassette tapes. I don't think our sound booth even knows how to do a cassette tape, okay? We're coming into a new generation that thinks a new way.
Yes.
If you haven't heard of this thing called AI, yeah, you should. Why? Because I love AI. Because AI came from a thought of God. God gives us those things. God creates us in those things. Sorry, someone's calling me. Nope, can't talk to you right now, sorry.
It's AI calling.
It's AI calling.
Don't talk about me.
I'm gonna need help with this. I'm coming to your office and asking you more. There's a story, a guy named Smith Wigglesworth. He was in the early 1900s. And Smith Wigglesworth has a devotional that I follow. I just started following. I did it years ago, and I started again this year. But there's a story in it. And in this story, I think it's on August 5th, if you find his devotional, you'll read this story. He talks about a young man that goes to a church, and he's in the church, and his dad's a deacon. And in the middle of church one Sunday, he yells out, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah!" Scared everybody. Next week, he goes to church. Holy Spirit hit him again, and he yells, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." Well, the elders went to the deacon. They said, "Hey, you need to talk to your son. We're an established church, and he's disrupting the entire church. You got to talk to your son and tell him, we don't do it like that here. We don't act like that here. This is an established church." So the deacon takes his son to the side, and he goes, "Hey, son, I got talked to by the elders, and you need to just watch it on Sunday mornings. Just, if you want to do that, go somewhere else. We don't do that in this established church." He goes, "Okay." So they're horse and buggy, and they're riding away, going home one day. And as they're riding away, this horse stops. And it stops in the same place all the time. And all of a sudden, the dad brings out the whip, and he starts, you know, tapping the horse, trying to get it to move. And the son looks at the dad, and he goes, "Dad, don't worry about it. Maybe the horse became established." Funny. But do we get established in the church? Can you, if you're in the back row, sit on the front row? If you sit on the left, can you sit on the right? If you sit in the middle, can you move, do something else? If you come in, I'm gonna pick on all of us, because I don't do this. So I want to tell you, I'm picking on all of us. If you don't serve in the nursery, should you serve in the nursery? That's Holy Spirit saying, okay? Don't like it, take it up with him. I don't want to be the church that goes this far. I don't want to be the church that hears a message and go, "We coulda, shoulda, woulda, but we didn't." In the Bible, there's a man named Abraham. His first name was Abram before God changed it to Abraham. And in Genesis 11:31, Abraham had a father named Terah. And it says that Terah had a calling on his life to go to this land called Canaan. So Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they all went to, they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. I just want to let you know where Haran is. So you have in right now, nowadays, Iraq, you have I forget what the sea is over here, but it's where they do all the wars. You got Ur over here. You have Israel, which is over here, which was Canaan at the time. Terah took off and he went all the way over to, he was going to get to Canaan, but he got to the east side of the Jordan and he stopped in a land called Haran. Why? It's good enough. It was, man, we took off. We took ground. We went all the way to Haran. We did good. And they did good. And then the next verse, which I don't have up there, the next verse says, and Terah lived 203 years and he died. That's all they say about this guy in the Bible, about Abram's dad, is he had a calling on his life, he went this far, and he settled. It was good. He got his family too close where he needs to be, but he settled. The next verse after Terah died is this. It's Genesis 12:1. And it says this, that the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Leave everything. Leave where you once settled and go to the land that I'm showing you. Today is a calling to leave where maybe we've settled in our mind and our thought processes to go through the open door. Go to this land that he's calling us to. And in verse 4 and 5, it says this. So Abram left. He did what God told him, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. If you're over 70 years old, don't raise your hand today. Just think. At 75 years old, Abram got up and left. He still was part of that generation. He still went where God had for him to go. He still went. I believe Abram knew he was supposed to go to Canaan all the time, but he honored his father and he stopped in the city of Haran. But he knew he was supposed to go there. Some of you have words over your life that were given to you when you were 15 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old. And some of you are 50, 60, and 70 going, God, when? I want to tell you it's now. Yes. You are not too old to move. Amen. No one is too old to move. So he was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took Sarai, his wife, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. I want to be the church that arrives there. Yes. I want to be the church that arrives where God is taking us. I want to be the church that goes through the door he has for us. The Israelites did the same thing. You know that Abram took them to Israel, to what is nowadays Israel, which is Canaan. And a few years later, quite a few years later, a guy named Joseph was sold into being a slave. And he went down. He spent 20 years in prison down in a place called Egypt. So you have you have Israel, Canaan. You have Egypt down here. They go here. They get here. Now you got Joseph down in Egypt. And Joseph is there for a purpose. To bring blessing to a family called Jacob's family, which later becomes Israel, and that's the 12 tribes of Israel that comes out of that. So Joseph goes there, and he helps them prepare. But then the Israelites forget their God for 400 years. But somewhere along the way, they begin praying for deliverance. Some of you are praying for deliverance, right? There's a Moses coming your way. And Moses takes them out of the land of Egypt and takes them up to the promised land. But this generation said, this is good enough on this side of the river. We don't need to go to that side of the river. It's good enough. I heard this story before somewhere in history. And he goes, this is good enough. And they spent 40 years wandering around in the desert because that was good enough. God got them out of slavery, got them to here. God supplied all their needs. God supplied them with manna. And they stayed there. That was okay. God loved them. God loved this people. He saved them. But then a man named Joshua came into the picture. And Moses said to Joshua, take this group into a land that we were supposed to go into at one point. And this door called the Jordan opened up. And it spread wide open. And all the people went, what do we do? And they started walking through. God's opening doors that we're to walk through. Yes. It's going to be open. But it's up to us to take the ground and walk through that. And do you know what they did when they did that? They went over to this land, same giants that was seen before the previous generation, same cities, still there from the previous generation, same everything, still there. They just stepped in, and God did the battle, and they possessed the ground. God did it before them, and they possessed. It says it in Deuteronomy. If you read, I spent during COVID reading Deuteronomy, okay, God took me there, and I'm like, why there? Because he does the battle, we possess the land. We don't even have to do the battle. You don't have to do the battle in your mind. All you have to do is possess what he's already told you you can have. Yes. You can have peace in abundance. You just have to step into it. Do you know that from 1900 until now, there's been a couple different moves of the of generations in the church? Between the 1880s and around 1930, there was this Holy Spirit movement that hit, especially the United States. And there was just a wave of the move of the Holy Spirit. There were signs and wonders that were happening all over the place. This had not happened before. They had not seen healing in masses that there were. Do you remember all the tent revivals that you hear about, the tent revivals? That's what was happening, tent revivals. There was one way of doing something at that time. It was working. People were running to God in a mighty way. And then you come up to 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, right? And what happens at that time? The Jesus movement. There's a group of hippies that got all excited about this man, Christ Jesus. And they said, I know where I can find true love. I don't find it in the bed anymore. I find it in the bed of Christ. When I climb in with him and I just wrap myself in him and just find this love with him. And out of that movement came the Vineyard movement with John Wimber. It came things like YWAM. You guys will love this. It came TV preachers. They're all over the place. They still are, which is great. I'm not saying this is bad. I'm saying this is good stuff, okay? This is progression. This is taking us from glory to glory to glory. The Toronto Blessing happened in the 90s.
Yes.
The Brownsville Revival happened. I didn't get to go to any of those. I didn't know about them, really. I kind of heard about them, but I was just in a different era of my life. But here's what I'm telling you, and here's my mark in history right now. That God is doing a new thing on the earth today that we have not seen before. Amen. That God is bringing a revival in a way that we have not seen before.
Yes.
That he's going to bring the children back to the fathers and the fathers to the children.
Yes.
That he's going to restore the family unit that has tried to be disrupted. I want to tell you what's happening today.
Amen.
That there's going to be healings in waves of mass numbers that you have not seen in history before. Do you know how it's going to come? It's going to come electronically. I really believe that it's going to come electronically. I believe that this thing called Facebook, this thing called Instagram, and all these other ones that this brilliant guy knows about, and I say that because he does. He knows the ins and outs of this stuff, is God's going to use this for his good because he's using all things for our good, for those that love him. And I know that there's going to be a change in history starting today because I keep hearing it. There's a man named Chris Vallotton. Does anybody know Chris Vallotton? Okay. I started listening. I've listened to Chris for a long time, but I started listening to his podcast again, probably about the middle of January. And I did not listen to this one because I read a book called Halftime. But his title is Halftime. I'm like, well, we're not in a halftime of church, you know, we're not there. But I listened to his podcast a few weeks ago. And his podcast is this, that the church is in the middle of a halftime. And this halftime is this, is that we've played the first half really well. But you go to the locker room, you say, okay, well, what have we done well? What can we do better? What are we missing? And how can we make some changes to come out in the second half and do a lot better? And he goes, right now the church is kind of in this halftime of figuring out, okay, we've done well up to this point. How do we now represent well on this side? And I'm telling you, he's saying we're moving into a new era, that God is now taking us through this halftime into this new era. There is a door opening for the church that we have not seen before. Tom has been taking us through Acts. And if I can encourage you with anything, read through Acts. Yeah. Acts is this transition. It's a transition from the temple and the synagogue to inside of homes of a church. Okay? It's a people that said, we don't really know what to do over here. And Holy Spirit says, it's okay, go wait in the upper room and wait for me, and I'm going to tell you what to do.
Yes.
And then the next thing you see is them stepping out on the street and preaching the gospel on the street. I'm not saying go preach on the gospel on the street. Please don't do that. Unless God called you to. Thank you, Dana. God had him do something new and unique.
Yes.
And the church of the time didn't know how to handle it. But these crazies stepped out. These crazy people did something different. They started meeting in their homes. They started meeting together. They started meeting individually. They started giving away things, like Tom spoke about last week. They gave away things. Do you know what Tom spoke about last week was in Acts 3, verse 1 through 10? And it's about a crippled beggar. Do you remember where the crippled beggar was sitting? The gate of beautiful. How ironic. He was at the beautiful gate and he'd been praying, God, please heal me. I believe it was in his heart to pray, is there anybody that could ever come along and heal me? Why? Because these two men that radically did something different walked by him one day and didn't give him any money, but they gave him something better. They gave him healing. They gave him Jesus Christ in his life. And he went leaping and dancing and praising God. And I believe that's the transition of the church. It's Acts. If you want to understand where we're stepping into the book of Acts. When I stepped here in this church in 2014, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I wanted to see the Holy Spirit so much in my life. I wanted to go to a place that was moving in the Holy Spirit. And I said to Tom one day, I said, you know this thing with the Holy Spirit? I said, I do not care if he paints me blue and sticks me to a wall, as long as he does it. But I don't want any man to do it. And I don't want to do it out of my flesh. Right. I want Holy Spirit to do it. And Holy Spirit, that's the crazies. The crazies of the world change the world. You're Steve Jobs that think beyond what we could ever think. Yes. These guys, the guy that does SpaceX. Elon Musk. Yeah, he's not saved. But people think he's crazy for what he does. He's trying to tunnel underneath L.A. So that they can go faster. Why are we sitting in traffic? Why don't we just put a car on a rail and just go flying underneath the LA? Yeah. It's crazy. The crazy of the world changed. We're going to be crazy people. Yeah. Okay? We're going to be crazy. Not abnormal. We're going to be crazy for God. And we're going to watch him do what he says he's going to do. On February 5th, I read a devotional from Smith Wigglesworth again. And Acts is all about stepping out in faith. It's all about men and women who stepped out in faith. And it says this, just a small snippet, and I'm about finished. But God is not. It says, God intends for you to have a clear conception of what faith is, how faith came, and how it remains. Faith is in the divine plan, for it brings you to the open door so that you might enter in. You must have an open door, though, for you cannot open the door. It is God who does it, but he wants you to be ready to step in and claim his promises of all the divine manifestations of power in the name of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, there are open doors to you today. There are open doors to today. I want to propose to you that we're stepping into a new era of the church. Be ready, be excited, be ready to work. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of people being involved to transform this city, to transform families, to transform lives. Why? Because they're going to come in masses going, what is the truth? I'm so tired of hearing the lie. I'm so tired of hearing the lie. I want the truth. And by faith, you have to step in and trust that what you're coming out of your mouth is from the Holy Spirit, that what you're speaking to them is truth. That we're on an era of open doors, but we must be ready to step through this by faith. Yeah. Amen. So, Derek, great. How do you do it? How do you step into this new era? It's real, real easy. I'm going to give you a one-word answer. Move. Amen. When Holy Spirit talks to you, says something in your mind, move. Yeah. How does Holy Spirit talk to you? He places something in your head. You ask him a question. If I ask Tom a question, the first thing that's coming out of his mouth is the answer to the question I have. The first thing that hits your head is usually the answer to the question you're asking. Right. I asked one morning, God, do I go to Brent or Dan's men's group? This is about 5:30 in the morning. Dan starts later than Brent's. I wanted to go to Dan's. I go, God, do I go to Dan's or Brent's? Brent's or Dan's? And Dan came into my mind. I'm like, okay, maybe that's just me. I'll ask it backwards. God, do I go to Dan's or Brent's? Go to Dan's. I get up. Actually, I go, good, I get to sleep an extra half hour. I get up and I go to Dan's. And Floyd has changed. Yes. The way that you step into this is move. Movements happen because people decide to move. They say, I don't want to sit here anymore. I want to step into what God has for me. How do the people come up and bring these words in the morning, on Sunday morning? They hear something in their head.
Yes.
When they say, God told me, it's something in their head, and they respond by faith and go up and say, here's what I got. If it fits, use it. Yeah. If not, I'll keep it to myself. Maybe it's for me. Mm-hmm. That's how they do it. Movements happen through people moving. Do what you hear God telling you to do. Don't look back. Don't look back to the past and go, man, I remember when I wish it, man, I remember the good old days. I remember when this happened in that church. I remember when. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, I press on.
Amen.
I press on. Forget what lies behind. Those were great days, guys. But if you got breath in your body and you're sitting here today, I don't care if you're 2 years old or 100 years old, you got a purpose till He takes you tomorrow. And the last thing is this: be relational and not religious. We don't need to get people to church. We need to be the church that go to the people. We need to be the church that go to the people.
Amen.
Would you stand up? I would like the prayer team to come up, if you would. And if you're on the prayer team and you need prayer, sit back down. It's okay. It's okay. There's no obligation to have to do just because you're on it. And I would like Mark Levesque and Judy to come up. And I've asked Mark and Judy just to pray over the word that I had today, because I believe this is a mark in history for the church. And these are two people that pray prophetically, and we're going to pray a prophetic word as a church. And then afterward, you're dismissed. But if you need prayer, if you're saying, I see the door, I need to see the door, come up and ask to these people. And I'm asking the prayer team to pray prophetically today. We don't need to ask. The door's already been open. We need to say, no, in the name of Jesus, we're stepping through.
Yeah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we know that when we step through the open door, you're right there with us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not stepping into nowhere. We're stepping into where you are.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we thank you for what you taught us in Malachi 3.
Mm.
That you said that, prove me.
Yeah.
Give your giving over to me, and I will make you a blessing.
Yeah.
I will make you an open window in heaven that will be able to pour out a blessing through you that the world can't even receive. And so, Lord, thank you for promising not only to put open doors in front of us, but to make us open doors from the kingdom of heaven into this world.
Mm-hmm.
So if I pray, Father, over every person here, that you would be a window in heaven, a door in heaven, from heaven into earth, that through you, through Jesus, because he connects heaven and earth, and he's in you, through Jesus in you, that you become an open door from heaven to earth, that earth can't even receive the blessing that God has for you to flow through you to others. Because when God opens a door to you, it's not just for you, it's for others. And so let the Lord use you as an open door between heaven and earth to bless the family of earth, that people would come to Jesus and receive him and be open doors themselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, let us all here be radical and crazy and fire just on us here today, Father. Let it just come on us now, right now, the fire of God come on us. Your glory come on us, Father. Your glory that we carry, that we can carry through those open doors that you have made already available to us, Father. They're ours. Like, they're ours. It's easy. It's not hard. It's easy. The people out there are ready. They're ready. They want to know you, Jesus. They want to know who you are. So, Father, our hands are open. The door is open. All we got to do now is move. All we got to do now is move. Because you made available for everything, Father. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And then one more thing. I hope it relates. I just saw, just picture yourself. You're going to someone's house that's special, that's really, you really loved to be with them. You love their company. You just can't wait. And you go up to the front door. It's already opened. The front door is already opened. And you come and they already set the table for you. Everything's ready. All you have to do is due. It's already there. And then there's another door. It's already open. And you go in there and you feast on that again. You keep going and going and going and going, and it's never ending, those doors. They're always open. They're always available. So, Father, thank you. Just let us move our feet, move our heart, move me, God. And we thank you for your Spirit over us. We thank you. Never-ending Spirit is on us. You never leave us. Thank you for Derek's word. Thank you for the power in it. We thank you, Jesus, for your body. Amen.
Father, we just one time just want to say we love you, God. Lord, we love you. Jesus Christ, we love you. We love you for all that you've done in our life. Lord, you have transformed us. You've made us new. Lord, we're going to see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. And everywhere that we put our foot, we will take kingdom for you, God. Lord, we want to say thank you for your word. Lord, we seal it. We seal this, and we ask that you water it out, that you just water it well. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
So if you'd like to respond for Open Doors, you whether it's health, finances, career, relationship, and you just want somebody to stand with you in prayer, just come forward right now, do so, and we would like to believe for breakthrough. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.